Hello, this is Bixby. Welcome to the Bixby Developers Chat Podcast. Here is your host, Roger Kibbe.
Hello, Bixby Developer Chat listeners. Today, I have the honor of talking to Alarna Che, who's a voice developer who's built many, many different experiences for Alexa, Google, and Bixby. And what has really impressed me about Alarna is her creativity and all the things that she's done with voice. So I'm really, really excited to talk to her. Alarna, why don't you introduce yourself?
Hi, everyone. My name is Alarna. I am 24 years old. I've been working on voice assistants for nearly 3 years now. And I recently graduated from the University of Kent, where I then for a year pursued the voice industry and to kind of see what it was all about. And so far it's paid off. And I've recently been announced Alexa champion. And also I've recently been announced as a Bixby developer of the year as well. So I'm very pleased with how it's all gone. Glad I took the jump, really.
Great. And congratulations on being the Bixby developer of the year at Project Voice and being an Alexa champion. That's quite an accomplishment. I have to ask you, what did you get your degree in? Is it a technology degree or something completely different?
Yeah, so I was down that route of kind of going into university and thinking, what do I actually want to do? And I was at the point where we had to decide what route you wanted to go down. I'd never really done any sort of computer science or anything up until I was around 16 years old, because they didn't really introduce that into schools much. So it wasn't until I was 16 when they introduced it in, we call it sixth form over here. It's like a high school, the upper high school side. And that's when I saw it and I was like, wow, I want to try it. And I kind of fell in love with the whole computer science. And I knew then I wanted to do something in that field, but did I want to do it as a job? So that's why I chose a degree where it was very broad. So it kind of varied from web design to games design to photography to 3D modeling, like any module, any course you could think of. It was very, very broad. So I was able to be like tick if I liked it or kind of just be like, okay, I don't want to go down that route, because I actually did want to do 3D modeling. I thought it was really cool when I saw it on the course, because you know, like Harry Potter and all that, and CGI and Pixar. And then when I came to it, I was like, actually, this is quite hard, and also quite you have to have a lot of patience, because you'll be making a 10-second clip in a whole term. And I was like, I didn't have the patience for that. So I did like the whole mobile application development and everything else that came with the course. So I kind of dwelled down the programming side. So that's how I kind of figured out I wanted to be in that sort of field.
Great. You know, I encourage people to go explore different things and try things out, right? Because who knows? I think you should reinvent yourself every N years and figure out what really excites you and go pursue it. And even if that means a big change, so good for you to try a bunch of things and you've landed on something you enjoy for right now. And go pursue it. So, Alarna, by my count, you've created 12 different Bixby capsules, and they range everything. There's some educational capsules. There's capsules around fitness. There's an ASMR capsule. You have some quiz games. Can you describe a couple of those Bixby capsule and the experiences?
Yeah. So with Bixby, with it being so new and the market as well, I wanted to basically kind of see which type of capsule genre I kind of like making the most. So with the ASMR one, it was simply something that I made these experiences because before I would make it for other people, but I decided let's take an approach where I can make them for myself and that I would use. So I'm a big fan of ASMR. I love going to sleep to ASMR. And I noticed there are a lot of sleep sound experiences out there, but ASMR is a very big market. When you look on YouTube, for example, a lot of people do love ASMR, and it's so different to like ambient noises, because the whole experience is supposed to deliver this brain like tingle to your brain and relax your brain. So I wanted to make one, and the best thing about putting it on Bixby rather than like YouTube is that with YouTube you have to have the screen on and you're trying to go to bed, the light's shining in the room. So at least if you put it on a voice platform, then you kind of eliminate the whole having to have the screen on, and you can just listen away and go to sleep with it. So that's with the ASMR one. And then with education, I've kind of always, with me being in education for so long, you kind of it's kind of a nice way to just keep sharp and keep learning, whether it is through learning a language or learning maths and stuff that you always kind of need to keep learning with. So and also fitness. I never really did many fitness experiences, and I wanted to see, especially when it comes to the end of Christmas, everyone's in that fitness mentality and you always want to keep fit. So I've never tried. One of my capsules I made was my yoga. I've never done yoga before, but I thought it'd be a good learning experience for me to learn the different yoga positions, as well as make something that I could use to learn with.
You know, I love it when people say they built something for themselves. So you were talking about ASMR and it sounded like the yoga capsule and even the education capsules. You know, you found personal benefit to these and then you wanted to share it. And I always find that when you build from the heart something, you're much more motivated and it really, really shows in the quality of what you build. So great job. You touched on this a little bit, Alarna, but how did you first get involved with building for voice? What motivated you to build for this new medium?
The main difference, the main encouragement and motivation for me to get into voice was, obviously, I did that my course where it was full of different modules. And I knew that where I struggled was with visual graphic design. And I love mobile apps. I really did. But what lacked from that was my design, like designing the app, so visuals. So when the Amazon Dot came out, I noticed that you could like speak to it and do all these skills, and I didn't realize it was a third party developer who had made this experience. So I love learning new skills, so I'm always up for learning anything. So when I saw that you could make one yourself, I jumped at that opportunity. And I started building. It was a really simple experience, I think. It was this game called Odds On, where you would try and not match the same number with Alexa. So that was, but I really enjoyed making it, also because I didn't have to think about the design side of things. So that's why I really love voice. Yeah.
That's great. Yeah. So it sounds like you followed your strengths.
Mm.
So I was going to ask you what your first voice experience was, but you just said it was the Odds On. Is that still out in the skill store?
I have no idea if it's still working.
Yeah, I think we all have our first things that we built. I think the first thing ever built is a jokes skill. I don't know if it's still working or not. I'll have to go check. But when and how did you first get started developing for Bixby itself?
Yeah, so I was invited to the developer partner program. And I was told, do you want to start developing on Bixby? I had heard of Bixby before because of on the Samsung phones. I think when they introduced it to the S8, the Galaxy S8 phone. And I was like, of course, it's a new skill that I'd love to learn. So I just love learning. Anytime someone says there's something, I'm like, yes, I'm up for it. And then the Samsung team got me on board with everything, with the IDE, the Bixby Developer Studio. And it kind of was very, very intimidating at first, because I was like, it's a new platform and this is different syntax using Viv. I'd never heard of Viv before, but I think it made it easier once I kind of just because I was in that whole Amazon mind, Alexa mind of what I was doing before. But once I remember, actually, you did that tutorial, that webinar with the horoscopes. Do you remember?
Actually, I think it might have been Adam Chira did the horoscope tutorial. If it was about horoscopes, but yeah, coding with Adam. Yeah.
It was, a webinar, and it was like, it really helped. So I always say, like, I like to learn visually. So visual learnings always are a big aid for me. I kind of, documentation is good for support, but I prefer visual aid. So when there's a lot of videos and stuff out there and examples, the examples as well are really helpful. So it really helped kind of move my developing experience with Bixby.
Great. You know, I sympathize with having come from a mobile and web and then done some Alexa and Google development, and that kind of very imperative kind of code first approach that you get really comfortable with. And then you move to Bixby and it's like, whoa, what is this? Is crazy, right? I have to model all these things and do this declarative modeling and write much less code. And I think for anyone, any developer out there is listening to this, I think there is definitely a hump to get over to kind of conceptualize and think about it. But once you get over the hump, I think you can be pretty productive with it. But it is not intuitive at first because it's quite a different programming paradigm than what you've seen in the past. So along those lines, Ilarna, so for listeners who are kind of aspiring Bixby developers and starting to learn, what advice do you have for them?
I would say get into it and actually dig deep. Make a fact capsule or something that you would make on a different platform, and then make a fact capsule on Bixby. And then you can kind of see how the differences are as well. So one thing I did, which really helped, was I made like a jokes capsule on Bixby, and I made the same one on Alexa to kind of understand what the main differences were. And what really did shock me was like how much code was in both. Like in the Bixby one, there was barely any code. It was literally just the content and a few conditions. But it just shows that you really just need to think of it as a model first approach and kind of just plan it out really well and just think, what do I need here? What do I need there? But go for something really simple, then keep slowly adding, and then maybe you can move on to a quiz, and then maybe you can move on to more interactive experiences. But that's why I do with my capsules, you'll see they're quite different in structure as well, because I'm also learning as well as I go along. So that's I like making different types of capsules as well.
Right. Actually, I've been impressed with the kind of variety of capsules you've built. Where do you talked about this a little bit, that it's from things that you need, but can you tell me more about your inspiration for these different voice experiences that you've built?
Yeah, so it's kind of how it comes to me mainly is, and this is how I did one called Currency Converter, a capsule called Currency Converter, and how that kind of came to me was I was just playing around with Bixby and asking it a bunch of questions that I think I would use, and I noticed that when I asked for a currency, to convert currency from dollars to pounds, for example, it wasn't there. There wasn't any like native response, and it couldn't help me with that. And I thought, well, there you go. That's one use case that would be really helpful, and I need it as well. So that's one thing I do. I ask Bixby loads of questions that I know that I would be using as well. And if it doesn't have a native response, then I know that's a good use case to use and also good to introduce into the marketplace.
Great. Our philosophy is definitely, we believe that third-party apps and third-party capsules should dominate. And most of the questions that you ask of a voice assistant should be answered by third-party capsules, which is a little bit different than some of our competitors. But I think that's a good approach. Adam Shire likes to say, we're not building the world's best voice assistant. We're building the world's best platform for building a voice experience. And really, because we think and believe we're platform builders, and people like you are going to build those amazing experiences. And we've introduced features like natural language categories, which lets you be the default. When you actually ask Bixby a question, your actual capsule can answer that. So we'll have to work together to figure out which of your capsules might be eligible for that. But Bixby is coming to a lot more devices this year. So right now you can develop for the TV, the watch, and the smart appliance. There's no marketplace there. I wonder, as you look at all those different devices, is there particular devices that get you excited or interested to build something new or different voice experience-wise?
Yes. I'm really looking forward to the washing machine. I know it's a weird use case, but if you think about, I always look back at Iron Man, the movie, and I think about how Tony Stark is able to communicate with Jarvis in a way where Jarvis is linked to everything in his house. And I mean, the possibilities with Samson is kind of like a mini Jarvis in the sense that they could put Bixby in most of their products because they have such a range of products, from fridges to washing machines to, it's endless. So if the opportunity is there, that's kind of one of the most exciting things about the possibility of Bixby, is that you could essentially put it in your washing machine and create a capsule that can help people in everyday environments as well.
Interesting. Yeah, you know, I think the other thing is to think about, when I think about washing machines or appliances, and how many times a washing machine, that's a great example, because there's a lot of buttons and controls on modern washing machines. And when I think about just voice in general, whenever I see something where I got to press like 8 different buttons, or I got to go get the manual because something's kind of nested deeply inside of it, and yet I could describe it in a sentence or two, I'm like, wow, that should have a voice interface.
Especially like the microwave. I feel that that is probably one of the most badly designed use cases for users, because there's so many different ways to operate a microwave at a house. If you go to someone else's house, it will be different. And just because some people, especially me, I probably use the same settings every time. So I can literally just have a voice be able to say, turn on the microwave. And obviously with that Bixby personalization feature, if it knows who I am, it will know my settings, and it can just suddenly just warm my food for me without me having to actually emphasize what I want.
Got it. Yeah, what a great example. I think I have a microwave with 25 different buttons, and I know what 3 of the buttons do. I would have to go look at the manual to figure out how to do anything more complicated. Right? Only full power, 50% power. My gosh, how do you do that? Right? I got to press 6 different buttons. But really, I mean, that's why I think you're spot on. There's such an opportunity for voice, and it's so early, because there's so many pieces of technology that we touch where we've gotten used to all this complexity to actually operate them.
Yeah.
And voice would make it easier. Not always, right? I always say we're going to be
slightly. No, not always. I definitely think when you have a power cut, you definitely know how much you rely on technology.
isn't that true so much? So you talked about how you get your inspiration. I'm wondering, there's a lot of developers, and I've heard this, who are interested in voice, but they kind of get stuck on how to get started or what to first build. Do you have any advice or thinking for them around how do I figure out an idea and then go execute and build something?
Yeah, I always say, if you have an idea, don't shut it down. Write it down somewhere, or keep it away somewhere for another day, because there may be an opportunity when you can actually do it. But if you want to always start off small, and then you can build on it. So one thing that I definitely had an issue with in the past was that I wanted to make it perfect there and then, and it was hard to kind of just release it, because I was like, oh, content, I want to add more content, I want to do this. But it's good to also just start small and basic, because some of the best ideas are the most simple ones. And it's a matter of how what you can do at this time. And if there is a if there is an idea that you have, you could either collaborate with someone else or find the support that you need. But definitely don't discard the idea just because you're limited to the resources at the moment.
So well put. I think it's go build something or go get an idea and put it in your notes to go build in the future. And then go build it and realize it's going to be imperfect. Yeah. I had an old boss who had a great saying. He always said the better is the enemy of the good. And I love that saying because it's basically, hey, if you try to perfect something, eventually you're going to start harming it. So when it's good, release it. And I think we all know that once you get something out, you'll get feedback from people using it, whether they like it or don't like it. And so I guess the other thing, and I think you touched on this, is a lot of really popular voice experiences are quite simple. It's something people wanted or something that's really entertaining. So you don't need to be complicated. I think a developer mindset, I certainly have a developer mindset. Sometimes I try to build something super complicated when actually what would work and what people would really like is the very simplest version of what you're trying to build.
Yeah.
So broadening out and talking about the voice industry as a whole, where would you like to see it go? What would you like to see happen in voice?
I'm really excited to see what can happen. I'm seeing a lot of, especially from the conferences, a lot of voice integration with everyday products. And obviously, like, a lot of cars, the car industry is definitely going to be a very important next step for voice. You're seeing a lot of cars integrated into their actual models. And it's actually interesting to see that. I'm guessing that's where voice will definitely have more of a focus, especially with the sense that people do spend a lot of time in their cars. And the future with obviously Tesla, which shows is a very big competitor when it comes to like the electric cars market, and we're seeing a shift in electric cars as well. So I definitely think that when we actually look into voice, cars is where the real focus will be.
Got it. It makes a ton of sense, because I know you get some pretty good traffic jams there in the UK too. We certainly do here. And so you spend a lot of time in your car, and it's a great opportunity to use voice. It's the absolute modality that makes the most sense. Not only the safest, really the only one that really works. There.
Yeah.
So there's a ton of opportunities for thinking about entertaining people or keeping them informed or et cetera in their car. I always like think of, make your commute time a worthwhile time and get something done. And I think voice could enable that. So what do you think in, let's say, 5 years or 10 years, how are we going to be sitting here just talking to our technology, or is it going to be a mix? How is voice going to play in the 5 or 10 year time frame in our interaction and working with our technology?
I feel like it will be, Like going back to Iron Man, I feel like it could possibly potentially be like that, where in a sense you don't have to think what you're going to say. You see Tony using his natural, he's conversing in his natural way to this robot who understands him. And I definitely think that it's where voice could take us, especially the whole point of it being everywhere. So I wouldn't be surprised if, like, in the future, children are so used to having voice, they can literally, it'll be like a, like pinned into the home, like they'll just say it anywhere.
Yeah, I think we're raising a generation who's going to expect that of kids. They're going to grow up with voice assistants and think things can talk. You know,
I don't know if that will be the downfall, though, because I was obviously at that age where I had to look into an encyclopedia to find my answer. This was like before the Google days. And I don't know if that's a downfall, just having the answers come to you so quickly. But I definitely think there needs to be some balance where, you know, obviously in exams and stuff, how will that affect exams? Because I know when the watches came out, they made a rule to ban watches. But if you're going to have a source of knowledge everywhere, how will that work in that kind of retrospect?
Yeah, I think voice and education and thinking about that is a whole topic that's really interesting of how it can, as you pointed out, could it interfere with learning or can it augment? And I think there's definitely a ton of opportunities to augment learning and make it easier to learn. People sometimes learn verbally better than reading things. But on the other hand, if you get too dependent upon your tech always, maybe you're not learning some things that you'd otherwise learn. Yeah, it's a totally interesting topic and we're going to have to work it out as a society. Because I always say, you know, you're never going to slow down technology. So we have to think as a society of how to work with the technology to better ourselves as humans. Technology is an enabler and not an inhibitor. But it's definitely worth thinking about and talking about. So how about for the next year or so, for 2020, what are your plans, Alarna? What are you going to be building and doing with voice over the next year or so?
Yeah, so for me, I will continue building these voice experiences only because I think we can say 2020 is the year now that is kind of starting. I think before everyone was trying to kind of figure it all out. But I think 2020 is really the year where it's like, okay, let's do this. So I definitely think that, especially now getting into all the voice experiences that I've made, I'll continue to make some more innovative experiences. And I've got a few really good ideas, actually, that I'm excited to try, and that voice really gives you the capabilities to do. And I've also joined the Matchbox team, who are very very well known for Question of the Day, and they make these amazing voice experiences. And it's kind of what attracted me to them, because they were doing these massive things in the voice industry, and they're really, really killing it at the moment. So I'd love being a part of that team as well. So
that's great. Wow, what a coup for Matchbox to hire you. So but congratulations on joining. I agree. They've really done some really interesting, innovative things that have really resonated with people. Right? So build something amazing and then get it to resonate. And they've been super successful. So I think you're going to be I'm really successful there. And I really can't wait to see what you built. As you were talking about, hey, I have these great ideas, I'm like, okay, when can I see them?
The washing machine.
I'm excited about that. So you built several Bixby capsules. You built Alexa skills of your own. Obviously, you know, your own are amazing. But what are, you know, one or two other voice experiences that you've used that you really, really like and why?
Yeah, for me, I'm really into podcasts and audio. So I'm more of I like shifting towards audio. Yeah, so I like listening to AnyPod for discovering podcasts. And also there's this, but normally when we have like family games, there's Word Tennis by this this developer called Hugo Cap Hugo FM. I don't know if you've heard of him.
I haven't.
What's
it about?
Basically, it's you're playing tennis and you have to, but instead of tennis, it's like words. So it's like you hit it and then you say a word in a category. So if it goes pizza toppings, you'd say like cheese. Someone else will say ham, stuff like that. So yeah.
Oh, I get it. So back and forth kind of quick answers there. So that's like a tennis metaphor.
It gets very competitive in our house when we play that. So yeah. But I see myself mostly when I'm using these experiences, it's mostly for audio, music, and the rarity would be games. Because I'm more of a I like playing video games, like on Xbox. But yeah.
Okay. So Ilarna, if people want to keep in touch with what you're doing and understand these amazing new voice experiences that you're going to be releasing, you, your company, or Matchbox, what are the ways they can do so?
Yeah, so I'm terrible at social media, but when it comes to this, I'd say Twitter, definitely Twitter. It's Ilarna_preach on Twitter. And also I've recently been more active on LinkedIn as well. So my name, Ilarna, on LinkedIn. And yeah, any updates, it's mostly Twitter. So
great. And I'll put links to your Twitter handle and LinkedIn definitely in the show notes. So if people want to find you, that'll be easy to do just in the show notes for the podcast. You have a website as well, do you not? It has some experiences on that?
Yes, I have a website. Yes, it's www.adassainnovations.com.
Perfect. We will put a link to there in the show notes as well. So thank you so much, Ilarna. I really, really enjoyed talking to you. Like I said, I'm excited to see what you build because there's a lot of innovation that comes out of what you build. And Matt, when you talked about building some more amazing things, I'm super excited to see what you build. But thank you so much for being on the podcast and talking today. I really, really appreciate it.
Thank you. No, I had fun doing this.
All right. That's all, folks. Till next time, this is Roger Kibbe of the Bixby Developers Chat, signing off.